Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Psalms chapter 37 verse 23. Psalms 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." I said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Amen, somebody. "And he delighted in his way." Amen. I got a message today. But I need to understand this one thing, is that my steps are ordered of the Lord. Amen. They're ordered of God. Amen. He delights in the way that I go. Amen. When I walk in his way. Amen. When I walk on his path. Amen. My steps are ordered. Amen. The steps that I'm taking that I don't really understand, he's ordered them. Amen. My new life, the steps I'm taking in my new life, he's already ordered them. Amen. My conversation, he's ordered. My going in and my coming out, he's ordered. Amen. My life, my job, my relationships, he's ordered them. Amen. Where I go and where I don't go, he's ordered my steps. Amen. And he's pleased with the way I go when I follow him. Amen. I know this one thing, that all things work together for good to them that what? To them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Not just loving God, because we love God in the house, yeah? Amen. We love God, but we got to be called according to his purpose. Right. When we love God, we're called to his purpose. It puts us on a pathway of ordained steps, amen? Right. Does this make sense? Am I going too fast? Raise your hand if it's too fast. All right, come closer. Sit up on the altar. We walk by faith, yeah?
Yeah.
We walk by scriptures, yeah?
Yeah?
We walk by structure, amen?
Amen?
I'm thankful for the word of God.
Amen.
I'm thankful for a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and paved the way, amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
We love God, yes?
Amen.
We'll do what we need to get close to him.
Yes.
I want to go to that place where Jesus is. I want to make it to heaven. I want to see him. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? Amen. Am I the only one?
No.
Job 24 says this: some have removed the landmarks. This is where we start digging. We're in a world where people have pulled away the things of God and destroyed the things of God and brought confusion. Amen. And brought the steps that we are walking. They're not supposed to be ordained anymore. They're supposed to be weird and peculiar. I read in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the second part of it says this. How many of you guys got your Bible? Anybody? We still carry our Bibles? Where's Romans at? It's in the back, right after Acts, right? Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the second part says this. But yield yourselves unto God. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield yourself to God. Be an instrument of righteousness to God. The scripture declares that. Amen? That's the first time you guys ever heard something like that, right? First time. I'll go slow. I'll be nice. Everything I have to say today has got to be said in love. Amen?
Amen.
Everything that I say today is going to be found in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready to go on that journey?
Let's go.
We know that the Word is sharp.
Yep.
We know that the Word pierces.
Yep.
And sometimes we don't like what it says, because then that means I got to change.
Right.
Amen? Amen? This is a good scripture for them. This is, I wish so-and-so was here. But how many know you are here? Your steps have been ordered to be here today to hear what the Word of God says today. Amen?
Amen.
I'll go slow. Go ahead. I'll have to stand for a little bit, so I'll just stand a little bit longer. They say that communication, 70 to 93% of communication is nonverbal. Amen?
Amen?
Have you seen that? Right? You can read. You know right off the bat, you get that first impression. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys could be seated. So when I see you getting worried, and I see you getting quiet, you're still verbally communicating. Amen? If you're amening, you're still verbally communicating. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. I'm thankful that you are in the house of God today on a weekday, on a Tuesday. I thank you for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for the church. Amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful for a pastor who would trust this donkey to be here to speak to you holy people. Not you, the couple rows back. Not older, no. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to go slow. So I'm going to say a word, and I want to see how you react. We ready? Posture. No? We got Dave. Okay, good. Every time I've heard the word posture, it does something in me where I have to don't slouch. You know, all that teaching comes back. You quit slouching. It's bad for your back. You know, nowadays everyone's on their phone and they're just like, they're in their own little world, right? And we got to adjust ourselves because we know the long-term damage of staying like that. Amen? I'm going to say another word. The next word I want to say is what I want to talk about tonight. The word I'm going to say is holiness. 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 See how quiet it got. That's a touchy subject, huh? Is it biblical?
Yes.
Is holiness in our written word?
Yes.
Is it of God?
Yes.
The problem is when we start to define what it is. Amen? I've come to the brief summary of holiness as this. Is holiness is a separation. It's a separation from the things of the world, but it's also being separated unto God. It's just not, I don't do this and I don't do that. Amen. It's so elementary when it comes to what God's plan of holiness is. It's yeah, we're not doing that, but what are we doing? Right? What are we going to? What are we pursuing? What is driving us? Are we clinging and striving to be with Jesus Christ? Are my steps ordained in order to follow after Jesus? Or do I just not go there? Do I just not say that? Amen?
Yep.
Holiness starts in the heart. Amen?
Yep.
Holiness starts in the heart and it travels through your entire body. And it affects everything about who you are. It affects your mind, your speech. It affects what you put on and what you don't put on, amen? What you say and what you don't say, amen? Where you go and where you don't go. Holiness, it saturates your life when it's a part of who you are. Holiness, real holiness, amen?
Amen.
And that's for a purpose. It's ordained of God to be that way because there is a world that needs to know a holy God. Brother Jimmy Tony, one of his sermons, he said this. He said, the world needs a holy church. Yeah. The world needs saints of God who walk and live in holiness.
Yes.
I believe that to be true today. Does anybody still believe that?
Amen.
That holiness is still for us today.
Amen.
I pray that today that our outward life would reflect the holiness of God.
Yes.
That where we go and what we say and what we do would reflect a God who has saved us, who has set us free, who we were supposed to be dead in our sins, but he washed us, amen? And he, we were talking about it just before service, how he cleaned our minds and our hearts so that we're living a life that we shouldn't even be living. And he does that for a reason, so he can shine his light through us to a world that's lost and dying, amen? I was looking up some notes, and I came across a song that I had not even thought about in a while. And it goes like this. I won't sing it because you don't want that. Sister Canifax is great. I'm thankful for her worship. I'm thankful for her song singing. She's amazing. She loves all the attention. So make sure you thank her as loud as you can. I also want to thank Brandon for putting the scriptures up there and doing whatever he can back there. The song I was thinking of, it goes like this. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. And it's a super slow song, and I don't even have the tone to do it. And it's a song of when I'm caught fixing my eyes on Jesus, something pulls me closer to him to where everything else just doesn't matter, amen? And all that is inside of me wants to pursue Jesus Christ, amen? And it doesn't matter what it takes to get to that place where it's just me and Jesus. I'll do what I need to do. And it's a very slow song. It's a very intimate song. And when we get into that, we start to reflect Jesus, amen? My main scripture comes from Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 14. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Book of Hebrews 12, 14. Somebody got it? Everybody's got it, right? It's funny, but I got one right there too, see? We're covered on all aspects, right? And I'm going to read that scripture right after I read this one. And he don't have it. Because I have to share this. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "You are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to the people. He said, "My people, my church, it's like a house on a hill. And it's going to shine. And no matter what you're doing, you can't hide it." We can't hide that Jesus has transformed us because the conviction of God stays on us. Does that make sense? So that leads me to Hebrews 12, 14. And it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." That doesn't let the ladies off the hook. By man, it means the general population. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
The scripture is saying that we need to follow peace with all men. Yes. Peace with all men.
Yes.
All right? And holiness. There is a distinction. Peace and holiness with all men. And without that, we will not see the Lord. Amen? There are some very harsh statements in the Word of God. This one's given by Paul, but Jesus had another harsh statement. He says, "Unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot even see the kingdom of God." You can't even see heaven, right? There are some absolutes in the Word of God, yeah? There are some things that whether you like it or not, they are the truth of God's word that you have to submit to and obey the word regardless of how you feel about it and what you think is right and what you think should be. You are not God and this is not your word. You have to submit to it if you want to get to his heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Is that too hard? Is that okay? I'll go get some snacks if you want. I got some snacks. We have to have peace with men and we have to have holiness in this day and age.
Yes.
If we're going to reach them like God has shown us, and we're going to reach them like this book says, if we're going to be the apostolic Pentecostal church that we are destined to be, we got to follow peace with all men and live in holiness. Amen.
Amen.
We got to take our holiness outside of this place and live it outside there. Amen.
Amen.
We got to be separate from what is going on in the world, but still be in the world. Amen. Our attitudes can't be what is in the world. It has to be a heavenly attitude. Amen? Our speech has got to be a heavenly speech. Amen? It's got to be a holy speech, a holy conversation. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Holiness, the definition, consecration, sanctification, a lot of Asians. That lets me know that it's a process. Anytime there's an Asian on, it's a process. It even says it's a process of becoming or making holy, to be set apart, sanctification, holiness, consecration. So I ask you, what is holiness? What have you been taught holiness is? When I first came into the church, I was told holiness was a look. The very first thing I was told to do, get rid of that mustache. And I said, no. I would have till you told me. But since you told me, I am in complete rebellion right now until you show me scripture. He flopped around, found something, and I'm like, that's not what that says. Because then I'm not supposed to mar the corner on my beard. How am I have a mustache and a beard? How's that work? And they had no answer. I said, so well, we're stalemate. I ain't doing nothing. First time I ever went to a family camp. We pull up. We're ready to camp. I have my family with me. We got our tents. We got our sleeping bags. We got our water. We got our backpacks. We're ready to camp. Right? I mean, campers? Anybody still do that? Okay. Not glamping, but actual no electricity, water, you're right? He said, we're ready to camp, so we ain't in our pretty clothes, amen?
Yep.
We got our camping clothes. We're ready to be in that for 3 or 4 days without any kind of smell good, yeah?
Yep.
We pull up to the family camp, and there's suits and ties and big hair and heels, and I'm like, is this the right place? It's a campground, yeah, but these people ain't camping in that stuff. They're not hiking in them shoes. No, that's not happening. And instantly we're like, what do we have in the car? What can we put on so we can fit in with these people? We had nothing. We had a raincoat, and that was about it. But it's like 1,000 degrees. And then we go into the place, and it's dark, and there's bats, and it was craziness. And I instantly felt so small and so dirty because I wasn't wearing the right things. I was intimidated by what I thought holiness was. I was looking at these people. These people are people of God. These people are holy people. Look at how they're dressed. They must be saints of God. Look at them. Look at me. I can't compare to that. In my mind, holiness was a dress. Amen. And I heard little teachings here. Your length has to be right, and all this stuff, which needs to happen. The Bible clearly declares there has to be a distinction between male and female. Amen. Oh, come on, church. We need to be distinctive. Men should be men, and women should be women. I say that by the authority of the Word of God because it's His Word first.
Yes.
I don't care if the society doesn't like that.
Yeah.
I know this is getting posted, and that's okay. It can come on me. But if the Word of God says something, I'm going to stick to what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Because He is my judge. Yes?
Amen.
If the Word declares it, then we ought to live it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
We need those things. We need those standards. Amen? But standards and holiness are different. And I'm not here today to start drawing lines on where standards is. That's a pastor's job. Amen. He will set what that is. And they're based on scripture, on the Word of God. Amen. And I believe those are the things why people get quiet when you talk about holiness. Because now we have to fit into a parameter in a box. And I got to do this and I got to do that. But that's not what holiness is. Holiness comes from the heart. Amen. Holiness is a heart issue. Amen.
Yeah.
If you have your heart right, whatever it takes to get into the presence of God, you are willing to do. If it means I need to cut off friends, then I'm going to cut them off. If it means I got to stop doing this and start doing this, I'm going to do that. If it means that I need to put some bandanas away and take some things off and start doing some things and get rid of junk, I'm going to do that because it's staying in my way. Amen.
Yeah.
For me, I couldn't come to church in a red shirt. For me, for a long time, I couldn't come to church in a red shirt, and God convicted me on it. Because in the world, that was a no-no. You don't wear a red shirt around me. I will not wear one. Isn't that silly?
Yeah.
It's silliness, all right, when you're in the world. So God says, go get you a red shirt. That ain't anywhere in here. But because I wanted the old man to die. And I wanted to be in the presence of Almighty God. I went and got a red shirt and put it on no matter how ugly it made me feel. Because I wanted to be in the presence of God. And that old me had to die. And if it took a red shirt to get rid of the old man, I'm going to do that. Amen. I'm going to wear that and put it on and smile. Amen. Because that person is dead and the new person is here. And it is proof to everyone who was watching that I am standing there in a red shirt. But you just hit me for that, like, well, God's doing something in my heart. He's changing me. Amen. And if it starts with that, then I'm willing to do that. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not talking about standards today. I'm talking about getting into a place of holiness where if God asks you to put some things down and to start doing some things, you say, okay, God. Okay, God, I want to be used of you. I want to be a vessel. I want to be an instrument of righteousness that you can flow through. I want to be what the world sees your light shining through. Amen.
Amen.
I want to be that vessel of honor. Amen.
Amen.
It starts in the heart. Holiness isn't an issue when you fall in love with Jesus and out of love with the world. When I fall out of love with the world and what it can give me and what my dress represents and the pride and satisfaction I can get of what the world would give me, and I trade it for the love and the impressing of who Jesus Christ is, if I can be in his presence, say, okay, God, I'm surrendering all that because I desire you. I desire fellowship with you. I desire intimacy with you. Do you think that the Levitical priests, when they went into the tabernacle, could go in their flip-flops, shorts, and a tank top? No, God says, if you're coming in my presence, you better. You better be dressed holy. You better be separated. You better be clean. Amen.
Amen.
Does that make sense, somebody?
Yes.
Is this too hard?
No. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Start crying like this if it's too hard, okay? I got special seats for. Sorry. Martin, I'm going to have you get a scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1. I need someone else to get a scripture. Don't be scared. You want one, Brother Dwayne? You have 2 Corinthians 6:17. Anybody else crazy want one scripture? Brother Mike, you want one?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 35:8. 1 Peter 1:13-16.
Hold on. Hold on. The loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end of for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
My goodness. That's not something that I said. That's something that the Word of God declared. He says, put off that old stuff. Put off that old mentality, that old way, that old, put that off. Be holy because he is holy. If he is living inside of you, the very nature of who he is inside of you will be a result of holiness. Amen. You can only get holiness from the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Holiness comes from God.
Amen.
Amen. And if he's inside of you, the byproduct of that is a holy life. Yeah.
Amen.
It's walking in holiness. It's a process of
Amen.
Sanctification.
Yeah.
Right. Is holification a word? It should be. Throw an Asian on it. Holification. Call it that. 1 Peter chapter 1, you got. 2 Corinthians 6:17.
So, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, saith the Lord. And touch not any unclean thing.
Do we hear what the Word of God is saying? There is a part in that scripture where he says that I would receive you. That I would receive you. There are some things that I got to do for him to receive me. Amen? We understand the power of repentance. In a life, a clean conscience towards God through the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. We understand the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of us with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's all for a reason. All that repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost prepares us and gets us primed so that we can start walking in holiness so that he can receive us when that trumpet sounds. Does this make sense? Without that walk, without that holiness walk, we won't see God. Scripture declares it. We won't be received of him if we're not walking in holiness. Does this make sense, somebody?
Yes.
Isaiah 35:8.
And the highway shall be there a
Wow.
The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools.
Though fools, you won't err in it. The Bible is saying that there is a way to walk, a holiness way of walking, that no matter what your level of understanding is, fool doesn't mean, oh, well, you're dumb and you can make it anyway. Who cares? It's saying this is that even if we don't fully understand what the principles of the Word of God, if we see it in there and we start walking in it, it says we won't err. We can obey the Word of God to the level of our obedience, to the level of our understanding, and only get so far. But when we step out of our understanding and understand this, is that He's already ordained it, my steps. When I step out of my understanding and start walking in holiness, I will not err, the scripture just said. Amen? If I can understand that the Word of God is here for me, and I need to search it, and I need to seek it and see what's in here, what are they doing? They're praying. Okay, I need to pray. Or they're studying the Word. Okay, I need to start studying the Word. They went house to house. Okay, I need to go house to house. They're sharing the Word of God. I need to start sharing the Word of God. They're fasting. I need to start fasting. Does this make sense? Yeah. If it's in the Word of God, I need to start doing it. I don't understand fasting. I don't understand how intercession works. I don't understand what this holiness and putting off. I don't understand it all, and I don't really care to. Do you want to see God?
Yes.
Do you want Him to receive you?
Yes.
Then walk in faith, church. If it's in the Word, do it. Amen?
Amen.
The world needs a holy church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Portland needs some holiness in it.
Amen.
We need it. More and more, as you see in the news, the government's changing this and doing that and flopping this. Things that were concrete, things that were settled already, it's flopping and turning this way and that way. But when we have a people who for generations have walked in holiness, who have walked, there's only one God. There will never be more. There's only one God. Everything is at His feet. You have to repent. You have to be baptized in Jesus. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen, somebody. You have to walk in holiness. You have to pursue holiness. You have to go out and reach the people so our blood is not in their hands, Ezekiel says. Amen. If we're doing those things, we set a precedence to the world that says what was good way back then is still good for us now.
Yeah.
This makes sense?
Yeah.
I noticed something right now. When I gave scriptures out, two men stood and one man didn't. This isn't a detriment to anybody. But I remember when I first came in, when the Word of God was read, you stood.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What has happened in our society when we stop honoring the Word of God? Martin's awesome and he loves the Word of God. We were talking about the Word of God today. We study the Word of God. He teaches the Word of God. This isn't on him. This is on our world that could care less what the Word of God says. They don't see any value in this anymore. They don't see the value in the way you live and the decisions that you make and the things that you put off and the things that you do put on. They don't see value in it. Amen. But when we have a people who are living by it and trusting it and walking in it, it shows them that there is still something to this Word. There's still something to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? There is still something to this Word. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
There is a difference between standards and holiness. And I want to walk in holiness. Because if I'm walking in holiness, I'll meet any standard God sets before me. If I'm walking in peace and love with my brothers, I'm going to be in a place where I can shine the holiness of God to them. Amen?
Right. Amen.
That's what I want to do. Amen? We look at standards and I haven't lived for God very long, but for the short time I've lived for God, it's always been a thing. The one thing that will trip someone up is a standard. And God wants us to know that standards are not just in the church, they're in the world. A workplace has a standard. You have to wear this and you have to put on this and you have to have this appearance and you have to this. You have to meet their guidelines. Amen. Why is it any difference when we come into the house of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Shouldn't it be that much more, amen, than what's going on in the world? Shouldn't it be that much more? I think the scripture we read is to be ye separate from the world. Can it be just a little bit level of more? When I was speaking with my wife about this, she says, isn't it something this life that we have that whatever it takes that I can offer God? If I can offer God who I am and what I wear and what I say and what I do, in my actions, if I can offer that to an almighty God, why wouldn't I want to do that? If he's given me my life, why can't I return it back to him? Amen?
Amen.
If our world has standards, and I buck at the stuff in the church, but not at the stuff in the world, what does that say about my heart? What does it say about my mind? What does it say about my affection towards God? Who is my God then? Is this okay? Standards are everywhere in every job. A standard of ethics, physical appearance, and dress code. But keep in mind that a standard of ethics without a spirit of integrity will only lead to confusion. Standard of ethics, how I'm looking. Without a spirit of integrity, what I'm doing when no one else I think is watching will bring confusion. If I'm this when I'm up here, and I get out of here, and in my day to day, if I'm out in the street and I'm this and I'm and I don't look like this anymore, I look like the world, something is different. People are like, you were here, but then now you're here. What's going on? What are you about? What is your message? It's a confusing message. Are you for God or are you for the world? What is your issue? Who are you going for? It brings confusion. But when I understand that if I'm walking in integrity to my God, my devotion to God, my consecration, my process of being holy as he molds me and shapes me and pushes me closer to him, as he draws me closer to him. If I'm on that path, it's not going to be confusing. That's one of those Christian guys. They do that. That's one of those bunheads. I've heard it. Right? Oh, yeah. You get up in Washington, up in, call it in Venice-burg and stuff like that. Yeah, Sean? There's some apostolic people up there. They're not called apostolic. They're called bunheads. Do you know why? Take a guess. Because the females don't cut their hair and it's always in a bun. They're clowning on them. They're making fun of them. If we understood the scriptures, again, I'm not getting into standards, but if we understand the power that comes in submission to an almighty God through every aspect of who we are, if we understood it, it wouldn't matter what people said. We'd just do it. Amen? I don't want to confuse my world. I want to reach to them and show them about a God who can change a life, who can sober a mind and repair a marriage and bring a family back together and give purpose to a life. I want to bring that message to my world. As long as I'm living what I'm supposed to be living, then my world will have weight to my words. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
I've heard it said this way, preach the gospel and every now and then use words. People are watching how you live. They're watching how you go through your trial. They're watching when you don't think anybody else is around. They're watching you when you get cut off. Amen?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a church person that cuts you off. I heard that on the way to church today. That person could have honked and, hey, you're number one, right?
Yeah.
But then you come to the same parking lot and you got to sing a song next to them. But didn't you... thought I was number one. Now he's number one. What's going on? It's confusing to our world, right? He gets it now. That's why he sits up front. I don't know about you. Where I come from, that's called hypocrisy. And then it gets quiet because nobody wants to be a hypocrite. Everybody wants to be true. They want to pray a true message to our world, yeah? We don't want to be hypocrites. There's enough of them out there, yeah? We want to be the difference, yeah?
Yeah?
It says a standard of dress without a spirit of peace and holiness will only lead to hypocrisy.
Right.
If I keep the standards, but I don't live the life, I'm a hypocrite.
Right.
I'm a hypocrite. That means I'm saying one thing, but living a different thing. I don't want to do that. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Standards we choose to live by should be the result of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and should reflect Christ to the world around us. Yeah?
Yep.
Holiness should be godliness. We're commanded in Leviticus and 1 Peter to be holy. Was it the 10 suggestions Moses got on the mountain?
Commandments.
don't know about you, but a commandment is it's kind of immovable. It's a command. It's like, this is the way it will be. Yep. Do you know why he did the commandments? Why he established commandments? Is because they were a slave people and they didn't know how to be a real people. So he says, I need to give you guys some structure and some order, because you're going and walking into an area that you don't even know about yet. There's battles coming your way, and if you don't have some things established already, you're going to get run over. You're going to get beat down. So you need to get some structure and some things set aside so that when the battle does happen, I know who you are. And that the spiritual understands who you are. That's a whole other lesson. There is no holiness apart from the Holy Ghost. Holiness will have you living a different life than those around you. Amen?
Yes.
Holiness is a Spirit of God anointing and empowering us to be more like Christ. When we take on holiness, when we do our part, God put his Spirit in us. He's cleansed us. Amen. And then we have our devotions, our consecrations that we put on a day to day and start walking towards him. Amen. That empowers us. That lets the anointing flow through us so that we can reach our world. Amen. Because then it's not us reflecting an image to the world. It's not me. Look what I can do and look what I've done and look at my trophy and look where I'm from and look how strong I am. Look how buff I am. None of that has mattered anymore, because now I'm just a blank slate reflecting the holiness of God. Amen. Now a message can get through. I've raised two girls, and I understand what modesty is, probably more than some, and I was overboard because they're my girls. And I always told them, if you are not covered up, you start the conversation somewhere else. But if you are covered up, the conversation has to start here. Because there's no other distraction. That one's free. Okay. You put that in your pocket and chew on that. There are certain things that are defined in clothing today. To show off a figure. But how many know God wants us to reflect him? To reflect his image. The scripture declares it. Amen. The scripture declares we need to reflect his image. Holiness will show in every part of our life. It will show in our attitude. It will show in our thoughts. Holiness will show in the use of our tongue. Holiness will show in the way we use our eyes and what we look at and what we seek. Amen? Holiness will affect how we dress. Holiness will affect, according to scripture, how we do our hair. Holiness will show in your body. I must say this. A lot of things have been set for our ladies, and they reflect holiness to our world. And at times it seems like, well, what about the guys? What about the guys, right? If a woman's supposed to have her hair uncut, then what about the guys? Well, it's supposed to be short in the same context. But if we're supposed to take care of our body, and I'm speaking to me right now, why am I eating Arby's at 10? Why am I not exercising when I should be? Why am I having 6-7 cups of coffee? This is the temple, yeah? I'm in conviction right now, all right? If I'm supposed to be a man of God walking in holiness, I need to be able to lift my hands without wrath and doubting. That means I need to start controlling my anger and not overreact. Amen. I need to be able to worship in the face of whoever I'm around and thank God and give praise and glory to God in a world that denounces God. I need to be that symbol. While I'm doing this, it does the same effect as a woman walking in and not saying nothing in modest dress and uncut hair. Is that too hard? If it is, too bad. It's scripture. Nothing I've said here is out of context. I have printed right here on these papers scriptures backing up what I'm saying. And they're available for anyone who wants them. Holiness will be reflected in your relationships. It will not have you sleeping around. It will not have you seeking to date this and to do that and to entertain this to please your flesh. Holiness will not accept that. Holiness will be reflected in how you treat human life. where I just scramble that egg or take that guy's life, holiness will put you in check. It will give you value for human life. Holiness will cause you to be honest. Holiness will affect your fellowship, who you hang around with, who you spend time with, who you desire to be with. Holiness will say, that's not good for me. Holiness will say, I don't need to be around that no more. That's not going to get me closer to God. That's going to drag me down and suck the life out of me. Holiness says, no. How about you go over here? How about you find someone with a prayer life that you want? How about you find someone who's witnessing like you want and find out? How about you find someone who's teaching a Bible study like you want to teach and hang out with them? How about you pick up the things of God like you want to pick up the things of the world? Amen? Yep. The flesh wants the things of the world, and the spirit that's inside of you wants the things of God. Does this make sense?
Yep.
So how do I fight that? How do I fight and win that battle? I win that battle by repenting. Praying through, that's an old term, right? That means I keep praying until I feel the Holy Ghost start to flow through me and I start to speak in that other language again. I don't let it go dead for week to week to week. When I get home, I let the Spirit of God flow through me. When I get at work, I let the Spirit of God flow through me. Wherever I'm doing, I let the Spirit of God flow through me so that I can reflect holiness and that my flesh won't take over, yeah? There's other areas of worldliness that the Holy Ghost will say, you probably shouldn't be doing this. The Bible doesn't say that you should not be a Dodger fan.
Yes, it does.
Well, when holiness will shut your mouth sometimes. There are some things that just aren't entertaining for your spirit that will steal your affections. Amen. Holiness will help you decide what is what and where I should be. Amen? If I'm pursuing the holiness of God, all these things get put into a light and a lens. What would God think about this? If God came back right now, if Jesus stepped down to this earth and saw me doing what I'm doing right now, would it be acceptable in his sight? Would he be pleased? Would I be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? If not, then I need to check some stuff. Amen? I got like 16 pages here. And none of it would even scratch the surface in the depth of what God has planned for the holiness he wants us walking in. Amen? I understand this, that there's so many things that consume us. Amen? That get our attention. Yeah, there's Bluetooth this, and as soon as you get on a Wi-Fi, you can connect, right? The devil has so many avenues into your life that you have allowed. Can I say that? And because we have allowed that, there's footholds and strongholds. Why do I keep wrestling with this? Why do I keep praying about that? Why is this still an issue after 10 years? Why is this still a problem? I stopped pursuing holiness because holiness would have said, I'm cutting that connection off. I'm disconnecting. Amen? I'm unpairing. Yeah? I'm detaching from that because I don't want that foothold in my life anymore. Yeah? Pastor was preaching on Sunday and I heard him read a scripture and something stood out to me. And it was in John chapter 20, verse 17. He was talking about Mary Magdalene when she goes to the grave. You remember on Sunday when he was preaching that? We still remember when he preaches Sunday?
Yeah.
Supposed to chew on it through the week. Yeah. And he said something that just stood out to me because she goes to Jesus at the tomb and Jesus tells her, how about you don't touch me? He says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to the brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. She went to go touch him. And Jesus says, stop. I haven't ascended. I began to study and look it up, but when I was sitting over here, I'm like, wow, God doesn't want me to touch him. Because I haven't lifted him up yet. He hasn't been lifted up. He hasn't been lifted up, so he doesn't want me to touch him. How come I can't connect with God? Because I'm not lifting him up. If he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him, yeah? So I started reading and studying the word and the verbiage that's there. And the word touch me, the word touch is an embrace, a full wrapping embrace. And she had already embraced him. And he says, okay, I have to go now. Can you please let me go? But in letting me go, I don't want you to just be sit here with nothing to do. I need you to go tell them some good news. If you've been in the presence of God, somebody, and you felt the arms of Jesus wrap around you, and you've wrapped in, you've connected with God, God is saying, don't just stay there. Right. Don't just stay in that place where it's just you and Him. That is a good place to be, yeah, and it feels good. And it feels good in your spirit. You feel rejuvenated. But the Bible says, and Jesus even told her, I need you to go tell the brethren. I need you to go tell some people that I am being ascended, and I'm coming back, yeah? I'm going, and not only am I going, but there's a plan for you to go too. Because He said, in my house are many mansions. Yeah? I got an address there. We need to go to the post office today and get a change of address for heaven. I can't just be stuck in a place of holiness that keeps me put. Because the holiness of God is not meant just to stay put. It's meant to take it out into a world. Holiness comes with a message.
Yes.
The holiness that we have and we put on and we carry is meant to be taken out in the world. It's meant to be taken and given to the world, yeah?
Yep.
It's meant to be shared, yeah?
Yep.
And the very same day, Jesus comes back to the house where they're at. Because now he has to show himself. He says, go ahead, put your hand in here. You can have me now. You've done what you had to do. You've given the message. So you get to be with me again. And the Bible says He declared peace unto them. I'll be nice. How about that? The Bible wants us to know to walk in holiness. Not in the lust of the flesh. Not in the pride of life. Not in the lust of my eyes. Not stuff that would please my flesh. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
When we walk in the Spirit, we can walk a way of holiness like the Scripture declares. Amen? And I'm praying and asking God, why is this on my heart? Why do I have this message? I believe God wants us to walk in holiness and to live a holy life so we can take it out to a world that is confused, that is wondering, is there anything absolute anymore? Is there anything steady anymore? Is there anything worth living for anymore? When we walk into our world clothed in the righteousness of God, walking in holiness, we give hope to a world. There is a way. We've walked with our family into a store and had a same-sex couple look at us. My girls, when they were smaller, would look at them like we stopped dead in our track, like, why are they holding hands? The girls said that. Why are they holding hands? And they got all offended and walked faster. They were looking at us because we were a whole family. And that was obscure to the world. It was different to see a man, a woman, and children together, one body, same dad, right? It was different. That's not the normality anymore. That's not what's normal. It's so broken and messed up out there.
Yeah.
Amen? It's so fractured.
Yeah.
But when we take the wholeness that God has brought to us,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
No matter how broken and beat down we've been, and we take the holiness and the life that God has given us, and we take it out into our world, we can display what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? He healed my body. He changed my mind. He saved me just in time, the song says. Yeah? We have a message to bring our world. We have a lifestyle we can show our world. Doing those two things make an avenue for the Word of God to enter the world. That lets the Spirit of God go into the world. That lets the Holy Ghost be poured out in the streets. Amen?
Amen.
That means we get to go down to a river and there's water right here. Why can't we be baptized right here? Those kind of things. Amen?
Yeah.
Those biblical things that we should be seeing. Amen?
Yeah.
If we're living it, these are the byproducts. Yeah?
Yep.
Daniel chapter 3 talks about a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah? Their holiness singled them out. They were picked on because of their holiness. They were singled out, said, you weren't praying to the statue, and you weren't doing this at the right hour. You were honoring a different God. Why are you doing that stuff? I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't have to think about my answer. I'm not bowing down to you. I only bow down to the one God that I've always known.
Yes.
I'm bowing down to the one God that has always been.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm bowing down to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen.
Yes.
Because of that, they were singled out and thrown into the fire. Yeah. But the Bible says that the cords that bound them were not singed. Their clothes and their hair were not singed. They didn't even smell like smoke because there was a fourth one in the fire.
Yeah.
Amen. He walked with them because of their holiness, because of their consecration. Amen.
Yeah.
Is there any weird Star Wars fans in here?
Amen.
What's tomorrow?
May the 4th.
If you're going to walk in the fire, walk in holiness. And may the fourth one be with you. Don't laugh at that. That was for the youth downstairs. I want God to walk with me. I don't want to be having my consecration to God and know His word and know His power and be left alone to wander through the fire. No. He's walking with me. Amen. I'm thankful for a God who's always with me, who's never left me, who's never forsaken me. Amen. I read about these guys, and it amazes me their consecration, because other people that should have been standing with them weren't. Right? But they chose, no matter what, no matter what, there's been some history behind me. There's people who have gone before me and who are passing on. And they stood for some principles of the things of God. They searched for some standards. They searched for holiness, amen? Holiness in your home. Holiness in your conversation. Holiness in the way you live. And holiness on how you reach to people with love and having peace to all men. Because they understood that without holiness and peace to all men, they won't see God. They understood that. Just recently, we lost someone who some of you might know, Brother Art Frank. And I wish everyone could have known him. He reminds me of Brother Mark, but with not enough hair. Just a big, tall, gentle guy. But he walked in holiness. And he went on to his reward. I want to leave that kind of legacy with our world.
Yeah.
Say, oh, Joe, that was the dude who beat me up. Or that was the guy who was always rude, who always hit me. I don't want that. And I'm trying to correct that with whoever I can. Amen. But I want to be remembered as someone who reflected Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. I want my world to know Jesus.
Yeah.
I really do. So I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to make sure they know. I'll end this with this, and we could stand. I'm only here today with the microphone in my hand by the grace of God. Yeah? I understand the principles that are in this word are for us, and they're from everlasting to everlasting. They will not fade. Yeah?
Right.
I understand how holiness has an impact in people's lives. I understand it because I've watched it. I've seen it played out. Amen?
Amen.
It was holiness that won me. Amen?
Yes.
The Bible talks about if you're in a household where your family or your loved one doesn't serve God. The Bible says that they'll be won by the conversation of your life. I've watched my wife go to church without me and be faithful to God without me. It made me feel bad. It made me feel guilty. Like, what am I doing? Why is she pursuing a love that's not here? Her consecration, her walk of holiness won me. Amen? I want to give hope to somebody. If you're in a home that isn't equally yoked and then they're striving against it and complaining about your consecration to God, continue to walk in holiness. Continue to walk in the things of God. Continue to walk and hold the priority of God first.
Yeah.
That will win them.
Yeah.
That will win them. Not on your time, but on God's time. Amen?
Amen.
Does somebody hear me?
Yes. Amen.
Keeping God first. You look through this whole Bible. God has always wanted to fight the battle for you. He's always wanted to step in and destroy an army. All you wanted to do, all he had you to do is to give him praise, to worship him through it all. Amen? He just wanted you to lift your voice and give a shout. He wanted you to throw down your life and yield to him. Amen? So today in this place, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to check our hearts and our motives and say, God, what do you want of me? What do you want in my life? What can I do to please you? You're showing me already that one thing. It's been there nagging at me the entire time this ugly dude has been talking. It's that one thing that I haven't let go. It's that foothold that I keep connecting to and pairing with. I need to sever that. God, give me the strength. He's already giving you the strength. He's already given you his spirit. He's already given it to you. It's up to you to do it. I'm not going to embarrass her, but she's sitting over there by Brother Nia. I won't say who she is, but I remember her getting the Holy Ghost. And I remember going to her house and throwing some things away, trash bag after trash bag of stuff of the world, because she understood that I don't need that stuff anymore. The Spirit of God had captured her, and those things no longer had a hold of her. So if you got to go home tonight and get rid of some stuff and unsubscribe from stuff and throw some stuff out, not sell it, not get rid of it and pawn it off to somebody, but to throw it away, burn it, whatever you got to do to get rid of that stuff, to pursue holiness and live the life that God wanted for you, I encourage you, do it. There's a blessing right on the other side of that. There's an anointing that will come on your life because God is trusting you in this hour to do and to walk in holiness. Why don't we lift our hands and ask God to have and search our hearts. Jesus, have this heart, have this mind, have this way, my God. Your word declares a way of holiness, my God. And I've looked to the left and I looked to the right. I've wandered, I've messed up, oh God. And I need you to put me on that straight path, my God. Off the narrow, my God, off the crookedness, off the side in the ditch, my God. Put me on your path, oh God. Put me in your way, oh God. Search my mind in my heart, my God. Everything that is in me, I yield to you. I yield my member, my God, to you, that you would use it as a member, my God, as an instrument of righteousness, oh God, that in this hour I would walk in holiness, that my holiness, my God, isn't nothing, my God, but it would be your holiness. It would be your righteousness, my God. It would be your spirit living in and breathing in me and directing me and controlling me and leading me, my God, that I would reflect your image, my God. I would reflect your holiness to our world, my God. You've said I'm a city on a hill that cannot be hid, my God. People are already watching me, my God. Let me be that instrument. Let me be that light, oh God, of your glory. Let them shine the light on who you are, my God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I thank you for what you've done in our lives, oh God. Jesus, have your way in our hearts. Jesus, have your way in my mind. Oh God, you are worthy, oh God, you are worthy, Jesus. I pray a loosing of your word, my God. Let it take seed right now, oh God. Let it take seed in the heart of your people, my God. Let it take seed, oh God. Let it take root and grow and bear fruit, oh God. Fruit for families, fruit for righteousness, fruit for holiness, my God. Let the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit be made evident, my God. Yeah. Why don't we, for the next couple seconds, lift up those people who are watching us walk through our trials, for our families that are lost, for our families. I want to encourage somebody. This week and last week, I've got news that my family is slowly coming to God. They're slowly trickling in to houses of God. They're slowly being baptized in Jesus' name. They're slowly coming to God after years and years and years of praying. Let's pray for our families in our city right now. Jesus, we surrender them to you, O God. You are the author and the finisher of this book, my God, of the book of this life, my God. I pray, my God, like Abraham prayed for Lot, my God, that you would reach them, send people, my God, send apostolic people full of the Holy Ghost that walk in holiness. Send them into their lives, oh God, that they would meet them, my God. Right in their need, oh God, that their desires and their hunger and their thirst would be met, my God. I pray right now for our children, oh God, that they would not be attached to the things of this world, my God, that you would capture their hearts and their minds, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let there be a hunger for holiness in this hour, my God. Let it start with us, my God. Let it start here in this church, my God. As we enter this place, my God, let us take it to our homes, my God, and set boundaries and set principles for holiness, my God. Let us set our own standards at home, my God, on what holiness will be. As for us in our house, we will serve you, oh God. We pray this in the mighty name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my God. I pray this world be sealed in our hearts, oh God. I pray this world take root. This word would take root, my God, and bear fruit, my God, even this week, Lord Jesus. I pray right now against any principality, any spirit, my God, any lie of the enemy, any infusion of the world, my God, that would trip us up and get us to doubt the word of God. Let it be removed. Let it be removed right now, my God, by the authority of your word. Let your word take precedence in our hearts and in our minds, oh God. We pray it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You are worthy, oh God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, oh God.
There's a lot of things going on in our church. We have men's breakfast. We have youth services. We have hyphen stuff going on. I pray you stay connected to what is going on. It'll be a good avenue to bring people to the house of God. We love you. Hey, you're dismissed in the name of Jesus, but be considerate of those that are still praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.